So if any of you have any experience with hanging heavy stuff on walls, something that I've had to do way too many times in my life because I've moved way too many times, and it never, for whatever reason, I don't know, I'm just not, like, inclined in that way, but it never gets any easier for me. I'm always the one who, even though I have a stud finder, you know, and it seems to work, I still shoot about, you know, 15 holes in the wall before I actually find the stud. I don't know what the deal is, right? But you know, the principle is to hang something heavy, you've got to have a strong foundation, right? There's got to be, you can't hang, I mean, you can use some anchors, there's some ways around it, but generally, if you want to really hang something up, then it's not going to come crashing down eventually. You want it to be in a strong foundation. It has to be attached to something stable. And so when I hear that line from Jesus today as he's speaking to the Pharisees about, on this hangs the law and the prophets, I think about that. That's a very evocative image of this whole edifice of belief, of religion, of our life, how it revolves and is founded and attached to that simple yet actually sort of complex foundation. It's really just two things, right? And so they come, these Pharisees, they're coming to Jesus. We don't know if they're trying to catch him in some kind of bind and disprove his authority, or maybe they're actually trying to learn from him. We don't know. But they ask this question, What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus gives them two, right? The first of them, of course, is from the Shema. This is from Deuteronomy 6:4. This is something that a observant Jew would have, and many observant Jews today still would have recited every morning, first thing when they get up in the morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We're familiar with that as well, right? That rolls off the tongue. And of course, that was also, if you think back to way earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, that's one of his answers to Satan, right? So that's a foundational point. We know that's a foundational point. And the second, of course, he says, the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Now, I think, and I don't want to generalize here, but I think as Episcopalians, in general, we are pretty good at the loving your neighbor part. I think we get that part right more often than not. I mean, you know, we're not perfect. Nobody is. But we do a pretty good job at loving our neighbors, or at least trying, you know. Now, the other part is a little bit trickier for us, the loving God part, right? And it's not that we don't love God. But I think that for whatever reason, it can be hard for us to conceptualize what it actually means to love God. It's easy to love your neighbor, right? I mean, it can be challenging, but it's to love somebody that you can see, that you can touch, that you can relate to. That's one thing, but to love God, that's a little bit more challenging. What does it really mean to love God? Now, we could interpret this and say, well, Jesus says, love your neighbor, love God, so you love God by loving your neighbor, right? And that I think is kind of the Episcopalian answer more often than not. But notice that Jesus doesn't say the second command is the same as the first one, right? He doesn't say they're the same. He says the second is like unto it. They're not exactly the same thing. It's like loving God, but not the same. So how do we do it? I think a lot of our ideas of loving God tend to be a bit transactional, right? We love God by what we do for God. We love God because of what God does for us, and we love God by what we do for God. So things like prayer and devotion, church attendance, tithing, all of those great things, serving in the church, we love God that way, or we try to love God that way. And these are all good things. I'm not saying these are bad things, especially tithing as we go into stewardship season, right? I gotta put in the plug there. These are good things, but these are like, as Jesus says, the law and the prophets, the things that hang on the foundation, right? These are kind of the extra things that are part of what hangs on the foundation. But what's the foundation? The foundation of loving God needs to be something deeper, something more secure, something that holds all of the rest of that up. And as I mentioned, it's not an easy thing to do, right? When I think about people that I love, I think about my wife, my kids. It's easy to love people that you have an experience, a direct experience of, that you have a direct interaction with, that I can tell you all about my wife. I can tell you all about my kids. With God, it's not so easy. It's a little bit more abstract. And so having that idea of who God is, I think is a clue to how we can love God. And Jesus gives us a bit of a clue to this in the second part of our gospel reading for today. You know, the first part is the greatest commandment. And then we have this other piece that at first glance, you would think it's just kind of tacked on to the story, right? Like, how do these two halves of the story relate to each other? You have Jesus talking about the commandments. And then he's talking this other piece about David, you know, about whose son is the Messiah and King David and all of that. And I think a lot of us reading this through would probably just skip that over and say, oh, well, you know, whatever Jesus is talking about there. But let's focus on the love God and love your neighbor stuff. But what if we saw that Jesus is actually showing us and showing the Pharisees a little bit of what it is to know God, what it is to love God through this demonstration. And so this question that the Pharisees are asking, or the question that Jesus asks the Pharisees, rather, is about the Messiah, right? Whose son is the Messiah? And they get into this discussion about David. And when you look deep in here, this is really Jesus' way of asking the Pharisees, who do you think God is? What kind of Lord do you expect? You see, if the Messiah, the one promised by God, is just David's son, right? Just a person in the line of David, then that means that God is just really just a God for a certain people, right? Just for a certain people, for a certain place. It's the Pharisee, by saying that the Messiah is in the line of David, the Pharisees are essentially understanding God to be just God that's like them, right? And we can point the finger at them and say, oh, look at them doing that, but how often do we do that too? Right? How often do we create God in our own image? How often do we imagine that God loves the things that we love and hates the things that we hate? Right? We do that a lot. What Jesus is showing the Pharisees is that maybe their idea of God, maybe what they know of God is too small. He's trying to widen their view of who God is. God's love is bigger and more audacious and more inclusive and more surprising than any of us can ask or imagine. Jesus is showing that the salvation that the Messiah offers is not just for a particular people for a particular time, but for all people. I read this week a quote from a midrash by a rabbi who said that, going back to that first commandment, that if we want to love God, then we need to love like God loves. We need to love what God loves. And what does God love? All things, right? All of God's creation. It's not limited just to the people that are like us, just to the people that we think deserve it, as much as we wish it was that way, right? God's love is bigger and more audacious and more inclusive and more surprising than any of us can imagine. And I think this is why Matthew points out that after all of this, the Pharisees didn't dare ask him any questions, and he pretty much shut them up. You know, he gave them an example of God that is beyond their comprehension. And so if we want to love God and love the way that God loves, that can take some pretty radical steps for us. It means trusting that God is with us even when we don't understand what or why is happening. In the midst of all of the chaos that we experience in our lives, all the chaos that we see going on around us. It means accepting that God's love includes even the people that we don't like. It means being bold to follow God's call, even when it seems risky, dangerous, or crazy to do so. And yes, it does mean loving our neighbor. And not just in convenient or practical ways, but freely giving up ourselves for the good of others. If we have this kind of love, then I think we can begin to say that we are reflecting God's love and we are truly loving God. With this kind of love, our foundation is secure. We don't have to worry about being right or wrong or how we're seen in the eyes of the world, because we have a secure foundation on which everything hangs. My prayer for us today is that we would be led by the Holy Spirit to embrace this difficult simplicity of these greatest commandments, just two things, and yet everything hangs on these two things. And that in everything we do, that we could know that we could hang securely on this foundation of loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. I pray this with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.